88% of the workweek is spent communicating, so it's important your team does it well. Enter Grammarly. Grammarly's AI helps teams communicate clearly the first time. It shows you how to make words resonate with your audience, helps with brainstorming, and lets you instantly create and revise drafts in just one click. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who use Grammarly to move work forward. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly. Enterprise ready AI.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.
Ball comes out of the hands of Newton. It's on the ground, picked up by T.J. Ward at the four-yard line. Vaughn Miller did it again.
On Overtime Media.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another Dove Valley Deep Diver on this wonderful Friday night. It is unfortunate that we are coming to you after a 0-2 start, something that none of us were wanting, especially with the Mile High Huddle meet and greet this last Sunday, where and previously we were undefeated, and now we fall to a 3-1 record during the meet and greet week, which is, again, unfortunate to happen. I fall to 3-1 in games that I'm in attendance to. But it was a great time, and we'll get into that here in just a few moments. But before we get into that, joining me, as always, is Kenneth Booker. Kenneth, how are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing pretty good. They kicked me out of my house one more time to finish up some construction. So, but it's all done now, so I'm back in the home. It was unfortunate that we lost on the meet and greet since we were undefeated. So whoever went there the first time, this next time you come, you gotta bring some mojo, whatever, some voodoo little magic to to flip the script, whatever. But it was really great to meet everybody. Everybody was super positive, and It was really fun then to hang out with all the staff, especially people I hadn't hung out with before, like Scott and Dylan. Yeah. And then hanging out with you again, it was really cool. I'm excited still. This team's a little bit it's shaky, but we're learning. It's going to be a rough season, but hopefully it's a lot of lessons learned in the season.
Yeah, one thing in the post-game pod for the Steelers game that I mentioned was that the outlook for the season, we kind of have to change it a little bit. This year, with how young this team is, and not trying to put a damper on anybody's expectations for the season or anything like that, but I think at this point, it's very clear, while they could, you know, change things around with how young this team is, you never know. But with how young this team is, it's all about the evaluation aspect of it. That aspect of preseason still carries over. Still evaluating Bo Nix, still evaluating a lot of the guys on the offensive line, the defensive side of the ball. We have multiple free agents in starting roles that we got to sit there and evaluate and figure out what we want to do with them going forward. It's really about the evaluation for it and hopefully continuing to build a team that can be competitive in, you know, next year or even the year after that when we're completely out of the Russell Wilson dead cap hit. But not going to talk too much about the Steelers game. That was a big bummer, rooting what was a great weekend for the Mile High meet and greet. As you said, it was great to see so many people there. I mean, almost everybody on the staff was there. Almost all the podcasters were there. Seeing Scott, who missed out last year, seeing him again, meeting family of some of them who came, going out and the night before on the Saturday night and, you know, relaxing, I guess, would be one way to put it, with a bunch of the staff and having some nice conversations and stuff like that was cool. And then, you know, actually on Sunday, the meet and greet, it's always a blast. It's always very weird when I get called over to sign, to autograph something. Like, it's been 4 years of me doing that, and it's still not something I'm used to. Yeah. It's still very surreal, but it is always a good time. Hopefully next year, a lot of you guys who weren't able to make it are able to make it next year. It's, I'm telling you, it is always a blast to sit there. And we just sit there and talk football for the most part. I mean, some of us, I know Mike Evans, he's one of the writers for Mile Huddle. He and I, we were talking about, you know, living in Denver, in the Denver area. I got to meet Kenneth's brother. And I got to tell you, Kenneth, when I saw him walking up, I knew immediately that he was your brother. You two look so much alike.
Yeah, he's a big guy too. He's pretty quiet, so I don't know if he would be doing podcasts. But yeah, we do have a lot of the similarities. He's just a little bit bigger.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was so obvious. Still, we have Woofy Mellow coming in. Sorry, with a $2 donation. Thank you, Woofy. We appreciate that. We have Michael Ronquillo coming in saying, "Good evening, Eric and Kenneth on the Dove Valley Divers. Go Bo Broncos!" Yes, thank you, Michael. Thank you for your support every single week on every single show. We appreciate it so much. Michael. Roy Osborne coming in saying, "Hey there, Scott, Eric, and KB. Hopefully, a Broncos win. To do that, they need to bring it." Yes, and we're going to get to that here in just a second. Roy, thank you for joining us. Thank you, everyone else, for joining us as well. But we do have a presenting sponsor for tonight, first and foremost, and that would be Mint Mobile. With big wireless providers, what you see is never what you get. Somewhere between the store and your first month's bill, the price you thought you were paying magically skyrockets. With Mint Mobile, you'll never have to worry about those gotchas ever again. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, monthly bills, and unexpected overages.
To get this new customer offer and your three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/shuttle. That's mintmobile.com/shuttle. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/shuttle. It's going to be a $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Yes, thank you again, Mint Mobile, for the sponsorship. We appreciate it. And yep. Moving on to talk a little bit about this Broncos team before we really dive into this Steelers game. And guys, Patrick coming in saying aloha, DVD, and Scott. Unfortunately, Scott is not with us tonight. Hopefully soon he will be back here on Friday nights, but because of family sport obligations, he has not been with us and will not be with us for the next few weeks at least. Best of luck to his family and his kids who are playing those sports and everything. But we are without Scott for now, which makes it a little bit harder for us to see those stars on Facebook. So if we miss any, I apologize. I'm not able to get into Facebook on my computer anymore, so I can't pull it up and see who it is. But thank you, Patrick. We appreciate it. And don't worry, we pass along to Scott that you guys are all saying hello and all that to make sure he knows what he's missing out on.
But Scott had a little Peyton Manning vibe when I saw him.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That definitely is. It's always nice to see Scott and talk and hang out with him a little bit. Didn't get to talk to him a whole lot this time around, but he is such a treat. Definitely provides a different insight to it since he's not really a Broncos fan. He is able to provide a little bit of a different insight into the Broncos and how they're doing. And it's always, again, it's always a treat to be able to talk to him and get that insight of it.
Definitely.
Now, for the Broncos, there is a lot wrong with this team. I mean, there's no other way to put it. There's a lot wrong with this team. Everything that can go wrong with the offense is going wrong with the offense. Bo Nix is doing what he can, but there are issues with Bo Nix. There's issues with the offensive line. The running game can't get going. The wide receivers are not doing enough. And the issue is, and tight ends also are not doing enough. But another issue with this is one issue with one of them just has a domino effect, and it just creates a never-ending circle of issues with this offense. Offensive line can't hold up in the run blocking, which leads to the running backs not doing well, which leads to putting more pressure on Bo Nix and so on and so forth. So, Kenneth, obviously we want to see things turn around. We want the Broncos to win. We want them to be competitive. And I think that's a key thing. Last 2 weeks, they haven't really felt competitive, even though the scores have been relatively close. They haven't felt competitive when watching this team. What is the first step that Sean Payton and the Broncos need to do to at least get to being in a competitive nature?
Well, it all comes from like what I saw on a podcast earlier of Jake Plummer. You need your veterans who are making that money, who have made it to that standard, because that's why they're getting paid that much. They need to hold people accountable and call people out that we're going to play every play like it's our last play. We're not going to quit on plays. We're not going to half run routes. We're going to get mad when they hit our quarterback late. We're going to just play like we care when we're passionate and intensity. You're not always going to win those games, but that team's going to remember you for the rest of the year of the team who just played their hearts out. And that's how you can kind of squeak out wins and stuff and then turn the momentum around. And then maybe fumbles that happen that fall back into the other team's hand. Now they fall into our hand now, because you just have to have that mindset, and you can't just get crushed two games in. Like, you can't be so down on yourself two games in. You got to keep playing and fighting, and you need to lean on those veteran leaders to hold people accountable.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. Is I watched a little bit of the Patriots Jets game last night, and one of the plays that I did see was there was kind of a like body slam type tackle by one of the Patriots defenders on the Jets running back, and the newly signed offensive lineman out of Baltimore, their guard Simpson, I think was his name, runs over and starts getting in the face of the defense. We haven't seen that this year from the Broncos, of this offensive line showing that passion and that heat and playing with that mean, nasty attitude that you need offensive linemen to play. Maybe it's because they're getting whipped as often as they are. I mean, this has not been a great offensive line. We need them to do better. And it was surprising to me, ESPN, they released their pass block win rate and run block win rate just on Tuesday or Wednesday for the first 2 weeks. And Denver was 14th highest in pass block and 12th highest in run blocking. And for me, when I watch this team, I do not see the numbers there. But it's not just them who need to step up and show that. Cortland Sutton, he's always been a hit or miss when it comes to being that leader on the field. Adam Trautman, he's on the field quite a bit. We need him to show it. And even though he's a rookie, we need Bo Nix to step up and show that leadership. You are the franchise quarterback, or at least a hope to be. All Bronco fans hope to be. Broncos coaches hope to be. It's on you to step up and do that and be that leader of it. But we have some Super Chats and we have some stars, and I'll get to those here in a second. But we do have another sponsor for tonight, and this one is from Manscaped. All right, guys, it's that best time of year. Football's back. We're talking NFL Sundays, college football Saturdays, and that glorious grind of fantasy football lineups. This is where your inner GM comes alive, setting the perfect fantasy roster, screaming at your TV, and making last-minute waiver moves that either make you a hero or the guy everyone ridicules in the group chat.
All right. Well, while you're with us, getting the lowdown on the Denver Broncos and perfecting your fantasy lineup, don't let your personal grooming become that guy left on the bench. Let's be honest. Nobody wants to fumble the grooming routine. That's where Manscaped Performance Package 5.0 Ultra comes in, acting as your all-in-one grooming playbook. From keeping things sharp down below with the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra to taking care of those rogue nose and ear hairs with a Weed Whacker 2.0. This is the lineup that will keep you looking and feeling like a champion on and off the field.
Join the over 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get ready for kickoff by heading over to manscaped.com. Use the code HUDDLE for 20% off and free shipping. Trust me, you'll be drafting the real MVP of grooming this season.
That's right. Get 20% off plus free shipping with code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. Stay on top of your grooming game and be ready for anything the season throws your way.
So thank you, Manscaped, for the sponsor. We appreciate that. Now, shifting focus here. Well, before we shift focus, I guess I should grab these stars and super chats. Good evening, Eric and Kenny. I'm still believing. Would like to see better play calling. I am with you on that. I think the play calling from Sean Payton has been problematic. I think the way he's using players has been problematic. And he definitely needs to take a look in the mirror. And for me, while he has had accountability, it has come off as fake accountability. Like, he's just saying it to say it and not actually doing it. Hopefully I am mistaken here and we see the changes needed on his end over the next couple weeks. Naj coming in. Naj, it was great to see you again. And I got to say, two of my best memories of the meet and greet involve you, Naj. The first meet and greet was when we were live at the stadium and you had to be quieted for language. And then this time, so Naj joined for the post-game podcast this year. And I get on the elevator and I'm standing right next to Naj. And we get onto the floor where we were doing the podcast at and get off. And I start talking to Naj and he doesn't realize it was me until I knock on the door. and we're going. He realized we're going to the same room. Nosh, that gave me such a laugh, man. It's always great to talk to you and see you. But he says, "Hey, brothers, great meet and greet. Except the game." Shake my head. "I didn't feel good about the first two games, but for some reason feel great about this game. I think they finally commit to the run, play physical offensively, and win." I hope you're right, Nosh, man. I hope you're right. I have a weird dislike of the Buccaneers that has stemmed for years. My mom used to be a fan of the Buccaneers back when John Lynch was with them. My mom had the hots for John Lynch. And even after John Lynch came to the Broncos, she still would root for the Buccaneers, despite her guy, her man crush, not being there. And so I don't know if that led to it or what, but I just always had a deep dislike for them. And I hope the Broncos can go in there and play physical and commit to the run and do all these things that we know they need to do and go out there and win. But the other question is can they go out there and execute at that level? Like, we can talk about Sean Payton and the play calling, which is a problem, but you still have to go out there and execute at the player level.
Definitely. Well, you never know with this game, because the Broncos are Colorado teams in general are one of those teams that lose to teams they should beat and beat teams they should lose to. It reminds me of a few years back when we beat the Cowboys, where everybody was picking them to beat us. I think that might have been the Timmy P over the shoulder touchdown catch game. But we'll see. So I can see a Dallas Cowboys taking – or not a Dallas Cowboys, sorry, that was the last game. But I can see Tampa Bay taking a slight lead, looking over us. It's all about turnovers. But with us, it's all moving the chains. And if we can move the chains and get a rhythm going, we might be able to start gaining some confidence and then get some belief in it and our team. But until we have more than one or two legit drives in an entire game, I don't know what to say. I don't know how we figure out a way to win without turnovers, without special teams making a big factor in it. But we'll see. You never know. They've done it before, so it would be pretty awesome if they can beat Tampa Bay and get that first win under their belt.
Yeah, and I will say, going into this game, Nosh, the Broncos are helped out a bit. Vita Vea is doubtful to play, and Kalijah Kancey is out for this game. And Antoine Winfield Jr. is also out for this game. Those are three big losses on that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. And so they got to have an answer for that, and hopefully the Broncos can take advantage of them not being in the game. It sucks, because I think we talked about this last week, how we always want to beat the teams at their best. But, you know, it just doesn't always happen in the NFL. Injuries happen. Players are going to miss games. Players are going to miss time. And you just got to go out there, and you can only face who you're facing. And so hopefully the Broncos can take advantage of that. James coming in with a $10 donation. Thank you, James. We appreciate that. Saying, is Peyton putting too much on our players? I feel like we had the same issue last year, and he had to cut the playbook down some. From what I understand, the playbook this year isn't super extensive to start the season. They are easing Bo Nix into it with a smaller playbook. And I don't know if you heard this, Kenneth, but after the game, over the last couple of days, people who were in the Steelers locker room after the game or close to them and have talked to the players have all been mentioning about how predictable this offense was. They knew exactly what the Broncos were going to come out and be doing, exactly how they're going to treat Bo Nix. And they threw a lot of shade at Bo Nix. They talked about a lot of this being they knew they weren't going to target deep because Bo Nix has issues throwing deep. And a lot of people want to point to that trick play where he threw it to Josh Reynolds. That was a great play. Don't get me wrong, but you saw an issue with the arm there. He throws it 60 yards, but it takes a long time for it to get there, which allowed the Steelers defenders to catch up on Josh Reynolds and keep the play from being a big touchdown play to only just being a big game. Picking hairs here, like nitpicking at this a little bit, because when that you don't have that velocity, obviously it creates issues. 3 miles an hour of velocity is a huge difference on the football field. It was still a fantastic play, just could have been better. And again, I'm nitpicking at this a little bit, but the Steelers, they didn't have that fear, which opened that up. And the Broncos, they didn't challenge them vertically a whole lot. There was only, what, two or three passes that went more than 15 yards down the field. So they played right into the Steelers' playbooks. Yes, they got one of those, but 1-for-3 isn't, you know, a winning record.
Yeah, and it seemed like he left his feet when he let that ball go, too. Like, it was like a little kid throwing the ball or something like that. It was really weird. I've seen that a lot with him where he doesn't step into a lot of his throws. They get there, but they're like that split second too late. So I don't know if that's just the feet is gonna eliminate that. But it's kind of hard to watch him out there. He looks very nervous and flustered. We finally saw him actually angry on a press post-conference question when they asked him about the interception in the end zone. And he's like, I threw it to the other team. That's what happened pretty much. Like, I don't know. He said a different words, whatever, but he kept it short and sweet and he was mad. So I don't know. We'll see if that mad is where he just went home and he just kind of sulked, or if he went home and he just looked over some work, figured out what he did wrong and what he can do better. Because I was watching some of the other stuff where Courtland Sutton gave up on a route. It looked like he got kind of jammed on the route, but didn't really try to fight through it and just jogged the rest of the way. And they threw the ball that way, and it was way off. But earlier in the game, Bo Nix missed him wide open on two different plays. One of them was a huge play. One of them was maybe like just a first down. But I don't know if that was something that got into Courtland Sutton's head. It's like, if I'm open and you're not going to throw it to me, why am I even going to run? Like, but you can't have that kind of mindset. Yeah.
And that goes into what we were talking about a little bit ago about the veterans needing to step up. With Courtland Sutton, that's always been his mindset. He's always had issues getting involved in the game if he's not involved right away. And when he's not involved right away, you kind of see his effort wane a little bit, and you just can't have that. And with Bo Nix, this was a bad game from him. Again, like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He wasn't the only issue with it. But there were yards left on the field because of mistakes on his part. Bad reads, throwing off his back foot. I mean, the interception that he threw after the big trick play, he's throwing off his back foot, and there's no need to be. And this has been a consistent issue through two games so far, and even going to preseason. When you watch back his preseason, he would throw off his back foot quite a bit, which leads to such accuracy and placement issues. And it's just something that needs to be corrected. I said this in the post-game pod, but one of the big things that Sean Payton and Davis Webb need to be working on with Bo Nix is correcting that footwork at this point. Focus on not throwing off that back foot and stepping into your throws and helping with his reads. Again, there was open receivers that he missed.
That Trautman was wide open underneath. And apparently that was, in most play calls, that would be the first read. Mm-hmm. But they were saying that most likely Sutton was open on a previous play on that same type of route. And he threw it to him without even thinking. He just assumed he was going to be open.
And we have James coming in again with another $5 donation. Thank you, James. Again, we appreciate that. He says, I saw something about each play Payton calls, he is changing personnel constantly, and that's why we don't have rhythm. That is a part of it. When you see a lot of teams, what they'll do is, like, the first series or two, they'll stick with, like, one or two personnel groupings to help get that rhythm, and then they'll change out of that. And they don't do it too much because it can break the rhythm. And I think it was Mike Shanahan actually had a interview not long after he stopped being the coach of the Washington Commanders, where he was talking about that and how you don't want to do too much because a lot of football is about timing and rhythm. And with no matter who the quarterback is, you have to keep that. So you don't sit there and want to call a constantly changing rotation of your personnel groupings. Stick with one, two, maybe three for a good portion of the game. Throw in a fourth and fifth every now and then. Mm-hmm. You want to keep utilizing the same kind of looks and packages and personnel to help out your quarterback. And one of the things you talked about too with that is that the younger the quarterback, the more less experienced the quarterback, the more that is the case. And Sean Payton has always been one who's kind of like marched to his own drum. He's never really been, you know, like a one, two, or three personnel grouping. It's been like 8, 9, 10 plus personnel groupings for him. And it worked there in New Orleans when he had a guy like Drew Brees. But once Drew Brees was done, or Drew Brees was hurt there at the end of his career, these other quarterbacks stepped in, and we started to see it be a little bit more of an issue. So that is something that Sean Payton can look in the mirror and try to correct and fix and help Bo Nix. And that just goes into trying to find the best way to utilize his players.
Yeah, that's I don't know what they're gonna do because the offensive line is having issues with the run blocking, and that's one way you can help them out. McGlinchey's out; he got hurt. Wanberg, I saw him get trucked a few times, completely ran over, was reaching back. It was pretty embarrassing, but I saw him holding up on some other plays too. Garrett Bowles, a couple times getting worked as well. When they lose, they lose bad. It's they're like completely spun around, like reaching up, like I don't know. It's like a little kid reaching for their parents. But it's T.J. Watt. Like he does that to everybody. So I mean, you really can't hang your head. You just got to learn how to react a little faster and have better technique. But yeah, it's all over the place that we're having issues. The run game not getting to the line, are not getting 2, 3, 4, or 5 yard runs. Or if they do, they kind of go away from it. Never taking advantage of our turnovers. But we'll see if we could snap out of it this time. The turnover is going to be the biggest thing, but it can't be like the Seattle turnover where we got a turnover and it was just a fill hole. Yeah. That's the way our season should have started so great the first couple plays. And we showed what we really were by just squandering those. And they showed that we were young and we just didn't know how to handle the moment. We're bad, but.
And going to your point about the offensive line, the Pittsburgh Steelers had 5 players get multiple pressures. Cameron Hayward, their interior defensive lineman, he led the team with 6 pressures, and Alex Highsmith was 2nd with 4. Highsmith basically lived in that backfield. He gave Bowles such an issue. T.J. Watt was 3rd. Keanu Benton and Larry Ogunjobi were the last 2 there with those double ones. And, I mean, Hayward, Ogunjobi, and Benton, they created such an issue for the interior offensive line. And that is one way why it's kind of nice that we're not playing Vita Vea and Kalijah Kansi, because the Buccaneers' defensive line without them definitely takes a step back. But they still have some quality players that can give this offensive line some problems that they need to step up and, you know, show what they can do. This is the most expensive. This is, I think, the most expensive offensive line in the NFL. It's time for them to show that they're worth the money.
Maybe we should get some Tyler Batty in there, like Michael Ronquillo says.
He has had the lone explosive run for the offense, which an explosive run is anything over a 10 yard run or 15 yard run. I can't remember exactly which. And he has the one rush for 16 yards. Audric Estime's out. I would expect Tyler Beatty to be called back up for this one. And the Buccaneers, I mean, Lavonte David, he is so good against the run. KJ Britt, without Vita Vea and Kansi, as I said, they still have those guys. But Tyler Beatty, he's the guy that kind of counteract some of these other guys, because he's not as fast as Jaleel McLaughlin is, and Jaleel McLaughlin is really struggling. People aren't talking about that enough, as Javonte Williams takes a lot of the tension. But Tyler Beatty has this quickness. He can stop and start a little bit better than Jaleel McLaughlin can, and I think that he could really be poised for a decent day against his Buccaneers defense with the guys out that they will be without.
Yeah, I would like to see somebody take that job by the – whatever, we gotta take that job and run with it, because nobody has. And Tyler Beatty seems like an effort guy. He's still talented and has all athleticism you need. But those other guys, I don't know. It's almost like they're trying not to lose their job a little bit. They're not playing angry. Like you don't see like how Philip Lindsay used to play. Like every single run, he took it personal. He hated the defense and he wanted to punish him and he wanted to run touchdowns and he wanted to really make big plays. And we need somebody like that who's not just kind of this, I don't know, just I understand why they're not, because of the offensive line, they get hit in the backfield and stuff like that. But I don't know. I just don't see that hunger, I guess.
Yeah. And then there is a comment here about, you know, stacked boxes, right? What do you expect a running back to do with 8 to 9 players in the box? Not go backwards. Not average 1.7 yards per carry. It's not that hard. Multiple running backs still average over 3 yards per carry against stacked boxes. It's doable. you just need running backs who can create for themselves a little bit, help make people miss, and that's just not Javonte Williams. He's a power guy who is struggling to break tackles this year, and the offensive line, they're not doing their part. And another thing you want to do, and this is kind of going away from that, is you got to get them to unstack the box. And this goes back on Sean Payton. You got to call plays that is going to lead to unstacking the box, and they're just not able to do it. They're not able to execute the pass. But that said, you still want your running backs to be able to pick up at least 3 yards per carry against stacked boxes, because that is the average in the NFL for the last decade. It's actually like 3.2 yards per carry against stacked boxes. Still doable. You can still pick up yards. You can still technically have decent runs. First and 10, 3 yards isn't a successful run, by the way. It's 4 yards or more. You still can do it. You can't just shrug all these issues off because they're facing stacked boxes.
I'm pretty sure Javonte was seeing stacked boxes when he was running with Melvin Gordon too.
Yeah.
And they were just trucking people.
He has either the second highest or third highest rate of stacked boxes since he's entered the NFL that he's faced against. Like, and we've seen him have success before, but not this year.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with that guy then.
Yeah. It's you got to find somebody. At this point, I don't think you can stick with him as your guaranteed bell cow. All right. BK wants me to cite the sources. I do this with a lot of my own digging into it. And stacked boxes, I believe, NFL.com, their advanced statistics when you have NFL Plus, I think this is where I'm getting the stacked box rates from. There is also a site that is, I can't remember what it's called right now, but it used to be RBDSM, Running Backs Don't Matter. That would carry stacked boxes stats that I would compile and everything like that. And as well as picking up different things off of Twitter from different accounts like Cody Alexander, Cynthia, the analytics lady for NFL.com, Cynthia Freeland, something like that. I can't remember her last name. It's just a compilation of different places that I use and that I pick up when I do my digging for the articles that I write, as well as doing my digging for preparation for these that I do. So all sorts of different places: Pro Football Focus, Pro Football Reference, NFL.com, their advanced statistics that you get with an NFL Plus subscription, Next Gen Stats.
Cynthia Freeland,
I can't remember her name right now.
F-R-E-L-U-N-D or something.
Something like that, yeah. She does a lot of that, and so
yeah, I've heard
that's just where it is.
You know, yeah, I listen to some of her stuff. I've seen a lot of stuff on YouTube when I'm doing research with her. Yeah, she knows her stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just I get these stats from a lot of different places. Some of them I compile myself, and I use these different sizes for it, different sites for it and different sources. So that's just where it is.
Yeah, I love going deeper stats. You always know all the stats. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I have a notebook that's – I don't think it's in my office right now because I was doing work from my living room today. I have a notebook full of just different stats and stuff like that that I use and that I keep track of throughout the season and everything like that. And I get a new notebook every season. And I have a stack sitting somewhere, I believe, in my office that is just full of these different stats and everything that I go back and reference to as well. But anyways, going back to this Buccaneers-Broncos game, I think there is one person from MHH that picked the Broncos to win this one. Sorry, guys. I didn't even pick the Broncos to win this one. And this is a year where I joke, because if you watch my predictions – I'll go from 1 year picking every game against the Broncos, 1 year picking every game for the Broncos, then 1 year going like back and forth. And this year was supposed to be a year that I picked the Broncos for every single game. And, well, I didn't pick the Broncos. I even went against what I'm just doing this year. And there's just so much going against them. This is a tough defense. Even without these guys, this is a tough defense. They have a outstanding usage of zone and simulated pressures. They are very similar to what they do defensively to what the Seattle Seahawks do defensively with their zone coverage. And again, their simulated pressures. And that we know is giving Bo Nix issues. Bo Nix has really struggled against zone coverages. He has faced two pretty zone heavy teams. So does not look like it's going to be a game that goes well for the Broncos offense. Defensively, Baker Mayfield has been one of the best quarterbacks against zone coverage, and the Broncos are running zone coverage at the second, cover three specifically, at the second highest rate in the NFL. They are one of three teams to run it over 40% of their coverages. They're at like 44 point something percent, maybe 45, somewhere around there. And the Buccaneers just beat the team that is the fourth highest rate usage of cover three in the Detroit Lions. And the Buccaneers just beat them. So I think that this is going to be an issue for them. Chris Godwin has caught 200 receiving yards. 164 of them have been in the slot. This is going to be a big test for Jaquan McMillan. Mike Evans, doesn't matter who his quarterback is, he's a 1,000-yard receiver, has been every single year of his career so far. And so it's just a tremendous task for the secondary, which hasn't been fully tested against this passing offense the Buccaneers have, because they also have a really high quality offensive line. I believe they are second and third, or third and second, in run block win rate and pass block win rate. And it's just such a high quality offensive line. And not only that, Baron Browning's out. He's not playing in this game. So that is a loss of a quality pass rusher, even though he hasn't had a great start to the season. It's going to make life difficult for getting after Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Baron Browning hurt again. Like, what the – jeez. I don't know what to do with that guy. I think I'm kind of just done almost. I know it's only two games of the season, whatever, but it's like if it turns into like a nagging thing and not just I'm back in 2 weeks, then I think I'm kind of done with the guy. But altogether with the game, I don't know how – I see our defense holding us in there for a while, keeping it respectable. But then late in there, they're just going to gas out. We might get like a late drive, scoring drive. But when you're trying to come from behind, you're going to start forcing stuff like they did last week. And that's how you kind of run into the Pittsburgh interception of Cortland Sutton in the back of the end zone. So but you never know. Like I said, like there's been plenty of games where we were supposed to lose this game, and for some reason we came out, and the only people who knew we weren't supposed to lose is the Broncos who stepped onto the field. So we'll see if they can do it.
The saying is, any given Sunday, anything can happen. Last year, the Broncos weren't supposed to beat the Bills. We weren't supposed to beat the Chiefs.
No.
We had a great defense show up, great turnovers, and ended up beating them. I want to say hello to Malcolm here in the chat. Malcolm, hopefully one of these years we get to see you at the meet and greet. It's funny that you live only about an hour and a half drive away from me, and we haven't had a chance to meet yet. I hope you're having a great time over there in the Philippines. And also, without saying too much, I saw the Facebook post, and I just want to say congratulations on all of that and all that you have going on in your life. That is really awesome. And again, congratulations, not just for me, but I will speak on behalf of everyone at MHH when I say congratulations, as well as a lot of people here in the chat. Don't want to go into too much because I don't know what you want out there, but congratulations for that. And yeah, I mean, this game is tough because we're not even getting into the fact of they're playing in Tampa Bay in September, and Denver is extremely terrible at football in September in Florida. Like,
yeah, we all know what happened last time we were in Florida.
Yeah. And my prediction almost matched that one, surprisingly. Almost. I believe I had it 45-9 or 45-12. Okay. I can't remember exactly what it was. I do not have a lot of faith in the Broncos in this one. Hopefully next week we're talking about how I was wrong, because I would love to see the Broncos win. And, you know, as much with how I hate the Buccaneers, I would love to see that. But I just have no faith in it. Just the matchups are in their favor. And I think the focus point for the Broncos at this point is Sean Payton figuring out the offense to correctly utilize his players and help out the offensive linemen, help out Bo Nix, and just – once you do that, a lot of other things can fall in place and look better than they are. Like, just so much falls on the offensive line stepping up, and all that. And I'd mentioned simulated pressures. When I watched the Seahawks game and the Steelers game back, the communication up front when they're calling out the pressures is terrible. I can't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but I do remember that the Broncos have the highest rate where their offensive line splits into a 3 and 2, where they have the 3 blockers facing 1 rusher and their 2 blockers facing 3 rushers. They have the highest rate of that improper split of their blocking unit. And I mean, there's a big play against the Seahawks that happened where you see Luke Wattenberg, he crashes over to the right with Miners taking on the defensive lineman and McGlinchey coming in at the triple team on that. Whereas you have Derek Hall, Boye Mafe, and I believe Leonard Williams, might've been Byron Murphy, all coming against Quinn Miners and Garrett Bowles and Powers tries to block 2 of them at once, obviously fails, and both of them end up getting a pressure on it. So they got to figure out. I don't know who's making the calls at the line, if it's Bo Nix or Luke Wattenberg, whoever it is, they need to be coached up so they can do it better. But it's difficult. I mean, simulated pressures, that's how they work. They confuse things at the line to where you're not getting a clear read and you're getting a free rusher. That is the point of simulated pressures. And we have faced one of the best teams at doing that at the Seattle Seahawks. We have faced a team that is implementing it a little bit more. In the Steelers, they have always been more of a stagnant defense, but they're starting to incorporate simulated pressures increasingly over the last few years. And then the Buccaneers, they use simulated pressures and have, under Todd Bowles, have used simulated pressures at like the top 5 most every single year that he's been with the Buccaneers, either as a defensive coordinator or head coach. He is a protege of the godfather of simulated pressures, is the best way to put it, and Rex Ryan. Like, he's the guy who really brought simulated pressures to the NFL. Todd Bowles is his protege.
Oh, we could have had him. Well, we passed on him and got a good old VJ instead. I don't know. It's weird. Growing up playing football, I didn't play like too far into my age, or whatever, but I didn't realize how complicated the offensive line and all the different stuff that they have to do and account for and how they react just based on certain things, on how people are set up and stuff. You always think it's just the quarterback that's, or maybe a middle linebacker, the quarterback of the defense, but it's insane on how much and how much, if you're going the wrong way, how it can just destroy the whole game or the whole drive or the momentum. And even the same thing with the receivers, where they're supposed to maybe do a comeback on a certain pressure or whatever, or a go. And then it turns into a pick 6 because they're not on the same page. That happens all over the field, not just like, yeah, in those 2 different places. So we just, yeah, we need to get on the same page. Everybody's got to get just to know. We have to know what we're doing without having to communicate with each other. And we're just in the very early stages of that, and it shows big time.
Yeah, I mean, again, I can't hammer this point enough. This is a young team. There's a lot of NFL inexperience on this team. We have a first-time starting center, a first-time starting rookie quarterback. You know, we've got a lot of guys new to the team. We have an offensive line that, I will say this, the offensive line should have more chemistry together than they have shown, especially the communication between Bowles and Powers and then Miners and McGlinchey. But just haven't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is tough, and I do like the, you know, you talking about how tough the offensive line is. It is extremely tough. There is a lot that goes into it, and the rules are always a little bit more complicated, like withholding. It's always funny when I hear people screaming that was a hold. Well, not always. Defensive linemen can't put themselves in a position of a hold with a pass rush move. It's part of the rule there. And a lot of people, what people call holding is that happening. There are also times where offensive linemen are told that if you're getting beat in a certain situation, and they're taught what these situations are, then hold, because you don't want that free hit on your quarterback. You want to protect your quarterback. So it's very tough. And then you have the whole chess match aspect of it, of what move are they going to throw at me this time? Can I risk oversetting because I know they have an inside spin counter? Can I risk undersetting and not expect them to do a stab and swim on the outside, or a ghost move on the outside,
or like, to Marcus Ware, the fake spin?
the fake spin. Like, there's so much that goes into it.
That was
to brutal. Being an offensive lineman that goes beyond just the communication pre-snap. But communication pre-snap will set you up for success later. If you fail with the communication pre-snap, you're going to fail the rep. I have talked about that with multiple offensive line coaches at different levels, high school, collegiate, and yeah, it's just you got to have that communication pre-snap to start. Everything after that, like, you set it up pre-snap. Mm-hmm. But that's going to do it for us. Kenneth, before we get out of here, what was your prediction for this game? I know you had Denver losing, but what was the score?
27-10. I had them kind of keeping it close for three quarters, and then just eventually kind of gassing out, and they're just going to seal it with a late third down conversion and run out the clock on us. But we'll see. I don't know. Maybe this is the one that will start the fights between the people for Knicks and without Knicks, where he shows up in this game and the other people are like, did you watch the first two games? But okay. I'm excited. But we'll see.
I mean, I was a big opponent of drafting Bo Nix, but at this point, I think there's a discussion to have about if you should bench him or not. I don't think you should. I think you roll with him. Roll with the punches. Let him grow. Throw him to the wolves. Just got to see what he can do. See him grow.
I know, but Manny.
Even then, I'm not pulling the plug on him 2-3 games in. Like, let him have the season. After the season, maybe the conversation can change. But he deserves a season.
What did Manning say? He says he got to leave these quarterbacks out here. He's like, he wants him to break his 28 interception record. He's like, they keep taking these guys out. What the heck?
But anyways, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in to the Dove Valley Deep Divers as part of the Mile High Huddle podcast group. You can follow the MHH pod on Twitter. You can also follow the Dove Valley Deep Divers podcast on Twitter at DVDD_podcast. You can also follow the mothership account at Mile High Huddle. That's where you get access to all the shows. You get access to any videos that we do. You get access to all of our written content. You can also follow us on Facebook.com/MileHighHuddlePod as well as Facebook.com/MileHighHuddle. Where, again, you can get access to the different podcasts, different shows, different videos, different articles, all of that's on there. If you guys are able to, with, you know, holiday season's coming up here in the next couple months, get your swag, get your merch at mhhmerch.com. As Chad said, you can get hats like this, you can get different shirts, you can get different mugs. We had a lot of gear there at the meet and greet, which if you guys show up, you guys can get it there as well. You can follow us on Instagram at @MileHighHuddle with an underscore between mile and high and high and huddle, where we put up different kind of content on there as well. And just take some time to go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review for a chance to win some swag each month. Hey, free swag, you're going to turn that down? All it takes is just a little bit for a 5-star review. And then if you are unable to do so financially, you guys can just help us out by taking 15-20 seconds of your time to subscribe, like, and share. It helps us out so much with the algorithm on everything that we stream on: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch. Liking, share, subscribing, all that is such a big help on that. And Super Chats on YouTube and Stars on Facebook, they help support the channel. They're dedicated to us. It's a big way, if you guys are able to financially help or financially do so, to support us. It helps me keep the lights on, do this full time, do writing articles full time, do the draft work that I do full time, as well as being a stay-at-home dad and taking care of my daughter and all that. So I appreciate that. And speaking of some super chats and stars, unfortunately, I don't have all of them here, but we have Woofy coming in, Naj. We have Phil James as well coming in. And I know that, as always, Michael Ronquillo, you were in here as well, showing us some love with those stars on Facebook, and we appreciate that. We appreciate all of you guys, even those of you who don't super chat and star. We do appreciate you. That's a joke. We appreciate you all the same. Appreciate you all equally. It's like parents when they're asked if you have a favorite kid. We love all of our kids equally.
It's like my arch nemesis in here, BK. I'm KP, and he's BK. But I like his stuff. I like his honesty and his little outlook on some of the stuff. So,
but no, it's seriously, guys. We appreciate all of you, whether you can support financially or not. you guys are great. And even just tuning in and viewing, it helps with the algorithm a lot and helps us get out to more viewers and more attention and helps increase our subscribers on YouTube, which creates a chain reaction. So we appreciate you guys all much. Thank you guys for tuning in. But before we get out of here, Booker, any last words?
There's a down south this Saturday. I guess it's going on today as well. At nighttime, they're doing a glow show. It's hot air balloons at nighttime. So it's pretty cool to go to take your family down there or a date. And then tomorrow they have a Denver Margaritas Festival going on. That one's going to be 4995 Argonne Street. I'm not sure if that's downtown or not. But tequila's margaritas is always good. And then this one's going to be in a couple weeks. But on October 4th, Patrick Surtain, he's going to be going to Mike's Stadium Sports Cards over in Aurora, and he's going to be doing some autographs. It's going to be like $99 for autographs. I think you can get a personal, you can write something personal for a little more, but it's unfortunate you got to pay for it, but it's pretty cool to meet such a cool guy. He seems like a real down-to-earth guy I'd like to meet.
All right, guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully, you know, this time next week we're talking about, or wrapping up, I should say, about talking about a Broncos win as they get ready for hopefully what would be a second consecutive win. My confidence isn't there. We missed some of the super chats and chatters who come in and help bring that confidence of the Broncos win. We miss you guys. Hope we will see you next week. Hope you guys have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe. And as always, go Broncos.
Go Broncos.
You are listening to Dove Valley Deep Divers with Eric Trickle
and Lance Sanderson.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change. Build up to Black Friday with savings all month long at Lowe's. Get up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, take an additional 10% off when you buy select major appliances. And don't wait to pick up holiday inflatables under $20. Don't wait to save in-store or online now because Lowe's knows deals. Valid 11/6 through 12/4. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. See Lowe's.com for details and qualifying items while supplies last.